Bibles to Luke chapter 2 for a few minutes. I want to just use a passage of scripture that has to do with Mary. And certainly a lot has gone on in Mary's life. And leading up to this verse that we look at, from the shepherds coming to visit to being visited by an angel, by having a child that God had promised to her. I mean, just an unbelievable amount of things. And down in verse 19, the Bible says this, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And I think the world that we live in doesn't give us very much time to ponder the things that God does. And we are so busy with the life and day-to-day things that go on that it seems like it's a challenge even to consider what happened the day before, the week before, or even the month before. And because of that busyness, I find in my own life, I can pray for something. And you know how God doesn't work on our time frame? He works on his own time frame. And you can pray for something, and then God can answer your prayer a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year later. And because you don't have time to ponder, you don't have time to thank God for everything that he does all the time or take the time to thank him for those kind of things. And as I thought about this passage of scripture with Mary, it's amazing how that God does all of these things and she ponders them in her heart. The idea is really to capture or to place within the heart and to bring together in one's mind to confer with oneself is really what it is. It's that she took everything that had taken place over the last 10 months or so from the time that Gabriel meets with her to the time of God's promises, to becoming Joseph's wife, and all of these different events that take place, and the announcement, the star, I mean, you fill in the blank with the things that come to your mind. She captured them, put them within her heart. And then as you think about her life in the next 30 years of Jesus being in her household, being a child, and then growing up, and being the carpenter's son, and all of these different things that go on, these things are captured by Mary, and she has the time to consider them and think about them. And then even as Jesus goes about his ministry after being baptized by John the Baptist, that's kind of the launching point of the public ministry of Jesus Christ, that so much takes place between the Pharisees looking to reject Jesus, his teaching, who he is, looking for opportunities to kill him and turn their back on him, to these 12 men that are gathered in, that are following Jesus, to the different thousands upon thousands of people that come to see him, and then hearing about the different ones that are healed by Jesus and the different accounts of things that take place throughout the land of Israel. All of these things go on in her life, and as that continues on towards the end of the life of the Lord Jesus here on this earth, when he's crucified, she's at the foot of the cross and not far away, being able to observe that. And then when, after his resurrection in Acts 1, the Bible says that she's with them there as well. So much goes on in her life that when you look at this, you can't help but consider that all of the time that her future is being prepared by God, that those things that she had locked up and stored in her heart were laying the groundwork for following Jesus and honoring him throughout the coming years. Well, to me, sometimes we need to take a time of evaluation, and a lot of that takes place during this last end week of, right now we're at 2022, but it seems like there's always those year-end things that take place, the headlines are the top 20 life-changing events in 2022, or, the top this that changed our society or took place within the world. And when we start thinking about that and take times of consideration like Mary, there are a lot of things that we need to lock within our heart that God has done over the last year in preparation for the following year that we would be aware of. I just put down a handful of things that came to mind for me personally that I think are very important for us to consider in our own lives. And number one here, I put down that this last week of the year, you really ought to consider the answers to prayer that God has given to us over the last year. There's been so many times that God has intervened as a result of God's people praying, families praying, husbands and wives praying, moms and dads praying. And the reason I think this is so very important for us individually is it fuels our faith. It helps us remember that God is at work and God is moving in these days that we are living in and that we're not left just to ourselves. And I don't know if you're like me or not. Some people always see the good things, but you know, I feel like sometimes I'm a fixer or a ponderer, or sometimes I'm even one that just mulls things over consistently. I want to fix what's wrong, and I don't always focus on all the good things that God has done. And so I can think, well, that's just the way that's supposed to be. That's supposed to be right, and problems are not supposed to happen. And that's really not the way life is, I get that, but sometimes we can focus on those things instead of what God has really done. And so when you start considering the answers to prayer, it fuels your faith to keep praying, keep honoring God, and keep moving forward. So consider the answers to prayer that God has given to you this last year. And I would say to you, you may not do it right now, but at some point in the next week or week and a half, you should take some time to write these things down about what God has done so you don't forget his goodness and his grace that he's shown to you personally and individually. Whatever age that you are, you young people here in the room, you have seen God move in your life as well. And those are so very key for you to write down and remember what God has done. Secondly, I thought about the fact we should consider the growth in our lives. Consider how that God has taken us from where we were at the end of 2021 and what he's accomplished throughout this year in growing our lives and shaping us for the glory of God. And those are so key for us to acknowledge growth points in our lives. Usually by the time that we get the recognition that we are growing and that we are changing, it is done usually at places where we least expect it. And by the way, if you are looking at your life and you think, well, man, I don't even know if I grew in my Christian life this last year or not, maybe you should ask somebody who is close to you or ask someone who is ministering with you, have you seen any growth points in my life? Because sometimes it's easier for people outside to see the growing in your life than it is for you. I mean, you watch it, you know, individually, and you watch it every day, and you think, well, nothing's happening, when somebody else is watching it grow and blossom and change and shape and mold you in ways that you can't even see yourself. So those are key things for you to be aware of. Consider the growth that God has given to our lives and the way that he changes us, whether it's in your prayer life, in your soul winning, or your Bible reading, or in God changing your character, your nature, or a victory over a sin that God has given to you, or just basic steps of faith that you have taken that God has been changing your life. Those are so very important for you to consider and realize that over the course of the year, that we are not the same because of the Spirit of God's work in each of our lives. Number three, I thought about this. I thought that you and I, we need to consider the grace of God. You just consider Mary, you know, in these areas of answers to prayer. I thought about in Luke 1, how she magnifies the Lord and rejoices about how that, you know, Jesus is going to be the Savior of the world and that he will put enemies under his feet. I thought about the growth in Mary's life of trust and faith that took place over the long term, and then the grace that God had shown to her to allow her to carry the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And obviously, grace is getting something that we don't deserve. And when we look over our lives over the last year, probably every person in the room could point at some spot in their life and say, you know, God just intervened and gave me something there that it really didn't deserve. Didn't deserve any of it, didn't deserve his favor, didn't deserve his blessing, didn't deserve any of that kind of thing. And yet, because of who that God is, his grace overflowed to us. And boy, I'm sure thankful for grace, aren't you? I mean, I just started thinking about how that, you know, grace is that, you know, God's supernatural favor in our lives that we just don't deserve. And grace is not because, you know, you and I have, you know, checked all the boxes off that make us super Christian. It's really all about God's just character, that he's just good and he just gives abundantly. It's amazing. Which brings me to number four, consider God's goodness. Grace can come in all different kinds of ways, and, you know, God's goodness is just the very character of who that God is, of how good that he is. And probably all of us over the year could look at different times where perhaps we might even say, you know, probably shouldn't even be here this very night, and yet because of God's goodness, he has cared for me and given me not only just the privilege of being here, but there are so many good things in my life. A lot of times we look at all the things that we think, you know, that one doesn't fit in my category of good. And yet God in his goodness has allowed things in our life to shape and mold us and grow us. And God knows what is good for each of us. Number five here, I put down, consider God's provision. God's provision. I mean, you think about how God provides. And I don't think that that would just be financially that God provides. But yet, you know, I would say as well, here we are. I mean, usually on Wednesday night, I would just say this, most of the people are faithful, not just in coming to church, but most Wednesday nights is people are faithful in tithes, offerings. And isn't it amazing how God provides as you are faithful to him and he fulfills his promise where he says, you know, I will pour out my blessing upon you, give and it shall be given unto you. Just amazing how that God consistently provides that way. But it provides for our family, provides for our specific needs, provides in times of trouble, provides wisdom, provides the fulfillment of his promises in our personal lives, and is a God that provides all that we need. He is sufficient in every single arena that we could ever even fathom. So his provision is unbelievable. And when we take it to God's word and we look at his promises, whether you consider Matthew 6, where he goes through a list of different things, beginning with prayer all the way down through seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then the perspective that he gives to us, that just focus on today, because today's got plenty for it, and let tomorrow take care of itself, because we'll get there tomorrow. And yesterday was yesterday. So let's just deal with what we've got today. Let's get our grace for today, provision for today, and let that work itself out. And he does things that are just beyond our ability to realize, and we don't know where it comes from other than saying, glory to God, thank you for your goodness and your provision. Number six, I put down here, consider God's protection. Consider God's protection. Now, whether or not you just consider this our daily protection that God gives to us, that the way that these bodies that he's created, all the different reactions and things that have to take place for us just to breathe and function, he protects against all of those different things. Or whether you consider driving down the street, how that God protects us every single day, or how that you consider things that take place in your life that could have gone this way, but went this way. I mean, how does that stuff happen apart from God's protection and God answering our prayers and caring for our needs and meeting them on a consistent basis? God really is amazing when he protects and cares for each and every one of us. Number seven, I thought about this. Consider God's forgiveness. No matter how many times that you had to go to God for forgiveness this last year, God forgave. And he was willing to forgive. In fact, abundantly willing to forgive. I mean, the times we lost our temper, times we said dumb things to our husband or our wife, times that we didn't do what we were supposed to do when we knew we were supposed to do it. We just were flat out lazy, and we had to go back to God and say, God, forgive me. And whether it was the same thing that we had to go back more than one time for, God still forgave. And he's just amazing the way that he doesn't quit on us, doesn't throw in the towel and say, yep, that's it, you're done. He just kindly keeps drawing us back and keeps working in our lives and giving us opportunity that way. And I'm thankful that he doesn't draw the line on that and say, yeah, your quota is on overload right now. And so I guess after I thought about God's forgiveness, I thought about number eight, consider God's kindness. What a kind God that we have. You know, he doesn't have to give us all these wonderful things. I mean, a lot of times we think about he gives us our basic necessities, and those are wonderful, and I thank God for them. But here where we're at in the United States of America, I think we've all got a little bit more than what we actually need, don't we? I mean, what a kind God that he would give us and allow us those things. And with that, you know, obviously comes responsibility that we do the right thing with it. But God doesn't have to give that stuff to us, and yet, in his kindness, he does. I mean, you look around the room and you think about your own personal life and the kindness God shows to us. Unbelievable that God would do that. Last one I would put down here is number nine. Consider God's long-suffering. Long-suffering. If you're like me, you thought once in a while, you thought, I wonder if I ever test God to the end of his patience. You know? And, you know, that's a human thought, because on God's end, he is long-suffering. That's not the way that he thinks, you know. His faithfulness is beyond our comprehension. His mercies are new, the Bible says, every morning. And so when you think about God's long-suffering towards us, it's not that God says, okay, you can go do what you want, and I'll never have any consequences, or that won't result in anything. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about that the moment that we return to God, God's always willing to receive us back, and God's always willing to love and care for us. He's always willing to just give one more opportunity there if somebody were willing to take advantage of that. So when I thought about Mary with all of this and how she locked them into her heart and she pondered them and gathered them in, when you and I, we take times of consideration, we actually take a little time to meditate on the things that God has done over the last year. It takes those things and it locks them in our hearts, because as you and I know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and that out of your heart is the issues of life. And when you're putting the right things and pondering on the right things, then the flow can be right out of your life. And as Mary pondered those things and kept them, our pattern here would be that you would take God's answer to prayer over here, and then that would fuel you to go, I can take this before God, and I can keep praying about this situation and keep letting God work. If God was kind over here and long-suffering over here, and he protected and he provided, then he can do that right over here in 2023. And if God can accomplish those things that he's done in the past, he can continually do those things, because it's within his character and within his nature, and I can keep trusting and resting in him. And that's the point that I would look at this, that as Mary put those things in her heart, that the life that she was given to live might have been a challenging life, might have had some difficulties in it, that as she went about day to day watching Jesus grow up and watching him with the scholars at the temple and then interacting with the different Pharisees and the different things and then knowing that there was going to be trouble down the road, yet she was faithful the whole way through. And I would say for us, times of consideration, begin to lock those things in our heart for the appropriate time that we wouldn't quit. We wouldn't quit. Because you know what the devil likes to whisper in your ear? Just quit. It doesn't really matter. He's not thinking about you anyway. And there's somewhere in the back of our head we know that's a lie. But boy, he sure knows when to say it at just the wrong time, doesn't he? So times of consideration are real. And then I put on your conclusion this. Proper times of consideration of our lives, past, present, and future, bring about varied responses in our lives. We're not perfect. There will be obvious regrets that we should deal with God about. Confession and repentance are necessary. However, if we have already dealt with those situations properly before God, do not let the devil keep throwing you under the bus of doubt, depression, and discouragement. Only consider failures to learn from them and remind yourself not to go that direction again. We must give God the glory for his love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. This continual attitude will lead us to greater growth. And by the way, I don't know anybody that doesn't need to keep growing in their Christian life. I do, and I want to. I want to be more like Jesus, and I want to let his life shine through me. Fruitfulness. Man, we live in a lost and dying world. And there are people that need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I want to be fruitful in that. I want to enter into the harvest field more than ever before. And remember, Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest. It is not a dead field out there. Don't look at it that way at all. When we look around and we see a sin-cursed world and a sinful world, we ought to look at it and go, you know what? The fields are wider than they've ever been. That may be the way that we ought to start looking at this thing. And also, this continued attitude will lead us to victories in our own lives. I think that sometimes we can get to a place where we're just passive and we forget that God has victories for us and that the victory is as we walk by faith. You keep taking those steps of faith, and God can get the victory in your life. And whatever it is that you list out, you say, you know what, I need a victory over here. You know, you shouldn't write that off and say, yeah, tried, failed, not trying anymore. Don't do that. Some of the best victories I've ever had in my life are the hardest fought victories that took time to pray through, to seek God through, and let him change something that was rooted deep in my life. And when he finally pulled it out, all I could say was, glory to God. That's wonderful. And it's stuff you usually want to just say, let's just not mess with that anymore. But when you do, and let God do it, it's amazing what he can do. So times of consideration, maybe this next week you could get before the Lord and take an hour and plow through some things that you might remember and write them down, and let them encourage you as we prepare for another new year. All right, let's pray, and then you can have the rest of the time to pray for some of these requests. Father, you're good to us, and we love you so much. Thank you for these great families here tonight. Please bless and keep them, strengthen them. And Lord, as we prepare for 2023, should you tarry in the next few days, God, and Lord, we rejoice if you'd return. It would give us all a deep-seated joy to go to home to be with you. But should you tarry, God, may we be faithful and grow and be strong in you and be faithful in all that you have provided for us. And Lord, that we would fulfill the roles in life that you've given to us. And Lord, that we would honor you and live for you. And I thank you for every person here tonight. Bless and keep them and provide for each of their needs. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today, if I go to heaven. Pray for me tonight. If that's you, if you just slip your hand up, I'd be glad to be praying for you this next week. Anybody like that today? Pastor, that's me. Okay, I see that. I'll be praying for you. Anybody else like that? Pastor, that's me. Thank you, Father, again, for all that you do for us. And I pray that you bless us as we pray, that you lead us and direct us and help us. And may you get the glory and praise. And we especially pray for Brother Prettyman and his family. God, that you keep and provide for them and just put a hedge of grace around them. May you protect their thoughts and they remember the good times they've had with their brother and with their son. And God, may it all just be a way in which that you protect them and they grow closer together. And especially bless the Prettyman family there in Uganda, God. Just draw them close to you and strengthen them. And help us to be a blessing to them as we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Take some time to pray, and you are dismissed tonight.